where you have Larry Lucchino, who basically represents the Paw Sox, has met with Senate President Dominic Ruggiero twice, and Ruggiero seems pretty positive about their interaction meetings. He had a meeting with Governor Raimondo at Providence Equity with Paul Salem, which is a big-time $50 billion hedge fund. The details of that meeting were unknown. But what really steps out or sticks out to me is the story that appeared in the Providence Journal, the front page, where Mattiello, basically his spokesman, Larry Berman, says, no, we haven't heard anything from them. We haven't seen anything from them. So we really are not in a position, Mattiello silent, on the new Paw Sox Stadium. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, well, it is kind of odd since the speaker was so enthusiastic the last time around in 2015. And it's a little disturbing how these things seem to, it seems to depend on the politics of the moment and who the specific people involved are, and that's what moves things rather than whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. But strategically, I think from Mattiello's point of view, this is to the better. I mean, if he makes this the project of Ruggiero and Raimondo, then when they come to him with it, they have to play their political chips. You know, he can make them exchange things for it rather than all agreeing up front. So that may be some of the calculation, because we do seem this year to be in this odd place where all the powerful politicians have their little pet projects they want to push forward this year. So that may be it, or it might just be he has a better relationship with the old lobbyist than he does with the new lobbyist, or who knows on that count.
The response from Larry Berman was, Speaker Mattiello has not seen a proposal on the stadium or talked to anyone about it. He's not in a position to provide an informed opinion. He'll address the situation if and when he sees a proposal. Now, we know that there's no way this thing is going forward unless it, you know, goes through the House. But to me, this cat-and-mouse game, that why would he not be at the meeting with Ruggiero, or why would it not be at a meeting with the governor? I think it goes to what you're saying is everything seems to then come down to what can I get out of this? Obviously, the governor, you know, is keeping an open mind. Ruggiero definitely seems interested. They've already had two meetings. But everything then seems, you know, that attitude of, like, what's in this for me, as opposed to a project of this magnitude, you would think that you'd want to initiate, you know, some kind of discussion in some way.
Yeah, well, and it's notable, too, that it's a marked difference from some of the complaints we were making about Speaker Mattiello a couple of years ago, where he would show up at Raimondo's event, I think, for roadworks on the tolls and such, without having seen a plan, and then kind of got burned by that. And then Stephen Frias in the campaign for Mattiello's seat in the General Assembly raised the issue of the Paw Sox at some points. So the politics have changed a bit for him as well. But it is a conspicuous change from what he was advocating and how he was advocating before.
Because he seemed all in on the Providence Stadium, no question about it.
Yeah, well, he was in on that, and like I said, he didn't need to see the governor's plans for things like the tolls before showing up at an event to promote it. So it's a change of tone, and it could be some politics as far as just retail politics of what's playing well in his district. It could be some negotiation. And, again, like I said, it could be some – maybe the lobbyists are different. I mean, Lucchino, I think, if I'm pronouncing that right, might not have the same relationships he does. But if I were putting myself in the speaker's shoes, if I were looking at this and you've now got the guy from Laborers running the Senate,
yep,
and you've got the governor who's actually in the negotiations with the team and then will be the one coming forward with what she's already kind of negotiated, that puts them both in a position where they have to back this. So he's got – Speaker Mattiello has some flexibility to you know, make them play their chips, and he'll get a little bit more of what he wants. But the whole thing is just unseemly. As I've looked into this more and more around the country, I don't think anybody outside of government kind of gets the math on how these things are supposed to be profitable for anybody.
Right.
It's almost like a joke across the country at this point. You know, the minor league baseball stadiums are, you know, always a great idea, right? And then ha ha ha, they're not really. I mean, Hartford, for example, is putting itself in tens of millions of dollars in debt on this idea that if they build the stadium, something will happen, some wonderful thing. And it's another area where Rhode Island should maybe not lead the way in helping to show how bad an idea it is.
Hey, Justin, also, and again, folks, we're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor for Ocean State Current. In this morning's Providence Journal, they lay out the difference between the Raimondo version of, quote, free tuition, which really is not, which is taxpayer-funded tuition. And then they also have the New York plan that Governor Mario Cuomo, somewhat controversial, certainly, put forward. What do you make with the governor seems right now just unrelenting in her plan to try to get, you know, support the plan. You see those different ads pop up all different places, support the plan. And the governor was also, the governor's people were very much in a hurry to release that Hassenfeld Institute, poll that came out that supposedly shows that a majority of Rhode Islanders. But in this morning's Providence Journal, free tuition, Rhode Island proposal versus New York law. What do you make of the two differences, and what do you make of the fact that she continues to push ahead and really stake her claim on this?
Well, the first thing it shows, if you go online and search for its free tuition plans, what you find are a lot of articles that make it seem like this is really just a national Democrat Party push to try to capture some of the Bernie Sanders enthusiasm from the last election. So you've got Cuomo and now Raimondo, and this is the big thing that the Democrats are doing around the country, and not a lot of discussion of whether the policy is any good. The biggest difference I've noticed from the New York plan is that New York is going to require students to stay in the state after they receive their free degrees and work in the state for a number of years. If they move and take a job elsewhere, they'll have to start paying back the money as if it were a loan, which, you know, who graduates high school going to college knowing not only what they're going to do but where they're going to work when they get out? That's if you have that kind of knowledge, you don't necessarily need a degree. You just go work there, right? So New York can kind of get away with that because they've got New York City, and it's a giant state. In northeastern terms,
yes.
Rhode Island, we lose so many of our people, our young people who need to find jobs and have to go elsewhere. So I don't know if we could even make that a requirement. It would be devastating for a lot of families who think they didn't plan on this big payment, and then the only job you can get is out of state. You mentioned the poll. The poll did ask some other specifics about what people would like to see. And I think it was around 80%. Wanted there to be a GPA requirement of your high school grades, if I read it right. So people, when they think of this in the abstract, like let's pay for some tuition, you know, maybe it's a good idea here and there for some purposes. But when you start having people look at the specifics, they get a little more hesitant. And I think that's always the sign when you see people trying to rush a policy through or just make it a flashy, this is the future or support the plan. Well, let's look at the plan. And it almost goes back to what Mattiello was saying about the paw socks. Let's look at the plan.
Yes.
And see if it has any details that are good. Maybe it's not even workable. But, yeah, in the abstract, hey, let's give everybody everything for free. You know,
right.
That's going to poll well no matter what the subject is.
That's right.
It's only when you start making people have to think in terms of what it's going to actually do. And at the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity, I've been looking at the emigration from Rhode Island. And on a net basis to other states, we lose about one town's worth of people every year on average in the past 11 years. And so a lot of them are going to be the young adults trying to find jobs. So if we're just going to be paying for them to be educated to move somewhere else, we could see our outflow go a lot more quickly.
The other, and again, folks, we speak with Justin Katz, the managing editor for Ocean State Current. You know, Justin, this business of the, quote, free tuition, Rhode Island proposal versus New York law, I even just have a problem with the name of it because it's not free. The taxpayers, we would end up paying for it. New York Cuomo did get it passed 4 years, a lot of criticism about it. It does seem to be a carryover of the Bernie Sanders. I also think it's interesting where Mattiello was also once again playing the cards close to the vest. I'm not sure how that's going to play in my district. I don't know how that is going to play. In New York, I know that there was a scathing piece written about it in the New York Times saying that it's the whole thing is preposterous. You're going to hurt private schools. You have kids that what about someone who then gets a job offer to go work at Silicon Valley in the tech industry, and now they have to stay in New York? The thing about the Rhode Island proposal is it seems to be all designed to just help her image as, you know, one of the leading Democrats right now, as opposed to something that is needed in Rhode Island.
Yeah, that's and the bigger thing that strikes me is, speaking of images, it's all starting to seem so phony and contrived, almost like building an entire illusion of it all. One of her spokespeople said something, I think it was on WPRI, about how we're bringing in thousands of jobs a year, and so we need to educate our people to be the ones, so they can be the ones to capture the jobs. If you look into our jobs numbers, they're not as bright as the Raimondo administration says. For unemployment, for one thing, is only going down because people are quitting and giving up even looking for work. The number of jobs actually created in the state has gone up, but it's slowed down under Governor Raimondo. So that's kind of a phony number. And then you look at these polls where it's kind of like, yeah, in the abstract, 60% of people support it, but it's not as if people have said, here's a plan that I support. They're just kind of answering a question on the phone related to some vague idea of college. So that's kind of not even real. And so the idea that we need to pass free tuition in order to have people fill jobs that aren't there, at some point, I hope Rhode Islanders are going to kind of say, this isn't making sense. You know, this is all starting to look a lot like it's just part of that branding campaign of,
yes,
you know, the governor's face across the country with,
yep,
an American flag. You know,
yes.
That could really catch up, especially if it drags on to another year's worth of debate. That'll be an interesting thing to see if this goes on, whether the governor keeps pushing for it in another session coming up to an election year. But there are a number of issues that are popping up in this way that just kind of ought to make Rhode Islanders say, hey, let's slow down and actually consider these things first, especially if our budget is shrinking faster than we think it is. Our revenue is actually not going up as quickly as we think it is, which seems to be the case.
What do you make of Governor Mundo saying now she is not in favor of legalization as far as recreational marijuana for this legislative session?
Well, I think this may be one area where the facts are coming in more quickly than the rhetoric can push the policy through. I mean, if you look at, in general, I'm a supporter of increased liberties and letting adults be adults and do their thing. But if you look at some of the data coming out of places like Colorado, after they legalized recreational marijuana, you did see a big jump in hard drug use, so illegal drugs other than marijuana. And that's something that is very concerning, and you have to start to put on the brakes and say, let's see how this pans out. I mean, maybe it's just an initial boost, and maybe that goes away, but really, you start playing games, especially when we're in the middle of overdose crises and opioid addiction crises. I think this is one where we're getting a good sampling of how issues actually play out in the public. So Jared Moffitt, the main lobbyist for legalizing marijuana, in response to Raimondo's change of position, says there's no need to wait. We need to move forward. Go,
yeah,
go, go. And that,
right,
should always be a concern. You know, if you're buying a car and the guy says, no, you can't go home and think about it. I need you to make a decision
right now.
You know, that's when you start to say, you know, maybe I should back off. You seem a little bit, there's too much pressure. I need to think about this. And so hopefully that's the case with marijuana, and hopefully other issues will start to follow the same path of
I just wonder if it's political posturing on her end, because I brought up, if she's a true progressive, the progressives are in favor of it, but if she's afraid of a more moderate Democrat challenging her in a primary, like a Peter Kilmartin, that would immediately be a distinguished difference, where he would be against the legalization, she would be in favor of it. To me, this neutralizes her, or neutralizes someone that a moderate Democrat running against her, and that's not something that they would be able to use against her. Because in the past, she seemed to have a pretty open mind about it, but I just think that there's always a lot of political calculation. Let me also ask you about, folks, and again, we're speaking with Justin Katz, who's the managing editor for Ocean State Current. Headline in today's Providence Journal, White House stockpiles $1.8 million for Senate run. Now, he's up next year. In your mind, is Senator Sheldon Whitehouse beatable?
Well, I've always thought he's beatable, even from when he ran. That's the silver lining of his candidacy, in my view, when he first ran for Senate. was, I don't think he presents very well to most people. And I mean, he released his tax returns for the first time today. And, you know, he's almost got almost $500,000 of income between him and his wife, who works with a lot of, you know, environmental lobbyists and that sort of thing. So he's got that, you know, feet, you know, a mild lisp, you know, I forgot the actor's name. He was in Night Court, and in one movie, Meatballs, I think it was, he was the kind of effeminate military soldier type guy. But that's the image that White House projects. So I've always thought he's somewhat beatable, especially in a race in a place like Rhode Island. There's only so much you can buy with your money in Rhode Island. If you're facing a candidate who's got some name recognition, perhaps like Judge Flanders, or even somebody lower down in the pecking order who's willing to spend a couple of years going door to door and going to every little event, talking to everybody, you can really make some progress there. So I'm not sure the money helps him, especially when he makes so much noise about how horrible dark money is. It's a bad image to be sitting on a couple million dollars of campaign money and then complaining that other people are using money in politics.
Well, he certainly, though, raised his profile, you know, just in the past couple of months between just him, you know, being an attack dog. He's become the Chuck Schumer, Elizabeth Warren, going on Bill Maher, going on MSNBC a lot. Obviously, high profile with the debate regarding the nomination with the Supreme Court. So as much as I think it would, to me, it would depend on what issue they really go after him and try to carve him out on. And I also wonder if, depending on how, you know, President Trump does, because there's always the strong argument, and John Chafee used to make it, Rhode Island is better served when you have a Democrat senator and a Republican senator. And right now, we have no one at the table, either in Congress or at the Senate. So I think if there is anyone vulnerable, I think he's raised his visibility where he could do a lot of out-of-state fundraising. But I think if anyone could be beatable, he certainly has not fully delivered for Rhode Island or seen in a certain way to me the way that Senator Reid is. So
yeah, and well, as you said, he's been kind of on the attack dog wing of the National Democrat Party. And so a lot of that's going to depend on how well the Democrats nationally in the news media everywhere can keep up this anti-Trump rage. If things sort of revert to normal, and people get sick of the, you know, this multi-page articles against Donald Trump in every newspaper in the country, then it'll start to seem irrational. And then people will start to turn to the practical thinking of, let's have somebody who's maybe a moderate Republican who can go in there and work with the
yes.
other party.
Yes, and be represented. You know, it is interesting, Justin, how, number one, Senator Whitehouse in the past has not released his tax returns, and now he has. And also, number two, he was supportive of President Trump with the Tomahawk strike into Syria, and even took a stronger position supporting the president, even than Senator Reid did. So that tells me that they are definitely taking – I don't know how they are, if they're worried about Representative Notalillo, but I think the idea of Bob Flanders running against him, Bob Flanders could certainly go toe-to-toe on all issues. And to me, Flanders, the – could make it an interesting race, and I know it seems some people won't get it, but he looks like someone who would be a senator. To me, that is a huge part. When you have the younger guy and the older guy, a lot of people say, let the younger guy wait his turn. Bob Flanders easily could be, if he was introduced as that Senator Flanders, I think it would be believable. Folks, again, he is the managing editor of Ocean State Current. He joins us every Tuesday at this time. He's also with the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity. It's Justin Katz. Justin, great job, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, John. Have a great week.
All right, folks, it's John DePietro. We're going to open up the phone lines and talk to you, 846-1028, 846-1028. Also, you can email me, john@depietro.com. I want to remind you, on this sunny Tuesday, we have great news. Pine Ridge Shooters Club in Exeter, they are still accepting memberships, so become a member today. You can call them at 667-6133. Pine Ridge, accepting memberships, hourly lane rentals available to the public. The club is pristine, built to military specifications. Pine Ridge, 20,000 square foot state-of-the-art indoor shooting range, Rhode Island's largest indoor shooting range with three different ranges. Pine Ridge also has a gun store right on the premises featuring new and used handguns, rifles, pistols, shotguns. What a professional experience, friendly staff they have. And they also feature beautiful handmade high-end quality guns like Nighthawk, Ed Brown, Kimber, Dan Wesson, and CZ, just to name a few. These are high quality and available at Pine Ridge. You can call them at 667-6133. They're easy to get to. Pine Ridge is located 560 South County Trail in Exeter. You can go online, PineRidgeIndoorShootingRange.com. Pop in and see them, 560 South County Trail in Exeter, or call them at 667-6133. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. Each weekday now, you found me. Well, here I am, 1 to 5, AM 1540, WADK. We're going to be back with a lot more on this Tuesday.
Whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, when it's time to eat out, WADK and WADK.com can help you find the perfect spot. Just click on the Shoreline Fair banner on the website for a list of great choices across Southern Rhode Island to fit every taste and budget. Participants include 210 Oyster Bar and Grill, Dan's Place, Custom House Coffee, LaForge Restaurant, El Fuego, The Port, and Brick Alley Pub.
A few weeks ago, two young women were denied permission to board a United flight because they were wearing leggings. The social media universe erupted in protest, but almost everyone got it wrong. I'm Rudy Max with today's Travel Minute from Rudy Max's World with the Carries. The gate agent was correct to bar the boarding of those two women because they were flying on a free pass, probably given them by a friend who's a United Airlines employee. The thing is, there are written rules governing the wardrobe folks flying on passes must obey. Perhaps the United employee didn't give the two women those rules. If so, she was at fault. Leggings are acceptable on regular passengers. It's no secret the wardrobes of airline passengers have gone way down market over time. Guys in flip-flops, gym shorts, and muscle shirts with hairy armpits aren't uncommon. There are rules for your dress while flying, but they're pretty liberal, like don't wear a t-shirt bearing an obscene or offensive quote. Occasionally a woman in a very low-cut top or very, very short skirt might get the fisheye from an airline ticket agent. But generally, almost anything goes. I wish it were otherwise. And if you ever hope to get upgraded to the front of the plane because coach is oversold, your odds increase hugely if you're looking sharp. Travel info at RudyMaxa.com.
Folks, this time of year, a lot of people are deciding, should I put my home on the market? Whether you're a buyer or a seller, this much we know. You want to deal with someone who is the most knowledgeable when it comes to real estate. True or false? I think the answer is true. That's why you want to call my friend Rick Moulton, top producer at RE/MAX for 25 years, RE/MAX Hall of Fame. Flexible commissions terminate anytime if unhappy. Call Rick Moulton today at 580-1608. Listen, you're not the top producer at RE/MAX for 25 years by accident or part of the RE/MAX Hall of Fame. Whether you're a buyer or a seller, I want you to deal with the top realtor in the state, Rick Moulton. Call him today, 580-1608. He gets results for both buyers and sellers when other realtors have failed. Top negotiator. He'll get you the most money in the shortest period of time with the least amount of problems. It's Rick Moulton. Call him today. Again, free home warranty he's offering. Also, each new listing and sale, limited coverage of heating and plumbing, electrical, overall home roofing, all appliances. It's Rick Moulton, someone you can depend on, knowledgeable on all things real estate. Listen, you don't want to take chances with someone who they're so excited because they're celebrating their first year anniversary of getting their real estate license. And I see a lot of clowns on Facebook. Folks, you want to deal with the best. I want to put you in touch with my friend Rick Moulton. Call him today, 580-1608, 580-1608.
The most entertaining show on your radio, John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
And we're back on this Tuesday. Good afternoon, one and all. It's Juan. This is John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Each weekday now, 1 to 5. Here I am. Bright sunshine. A little chilly out, but not bad. School vacation, get those kids out of the house, for crying out loud. It's sunny out. Can kids still play outside? I believe they can play outside. We'll take your phone calls, 846-1028, 846-1028. I enjoy, we'll have that podcast at our conversation with Justin Katz. Again, we talk to him every Tuesday at this time. He is very, very knowledgeable. I enjoy talking about local politics. Folks, for me, everything they do is calculated. Everything that is done, they sit back and these are Democrats, by the way. That's, you know, I think the state is realizing that we need, number one, a Republican governor, and number two, normally I would say we need a Republican attorney general, but Peter Noronha is such an impressive individual that to me, although he did register as a Democrat and it's rumored he may run, that I almost see him more as like an independent as opposed to someone that would be who would be so – well, to me, the last two attorney generals, right, Patrick Lynch and Peter – and obviously we're still going through Peter Kilmartin. They had no intentions of investigating any element of a public corruption case. Zero. Think about that. It wasn't going to happen. And then as a result of that, they know that at the State House. And they can get away with it.
And you're a public official. We'd like to know you were interviewed on the 30
Bill,
Studios question.
Bill,
you're in my house now.
Bill,
I have a lot of professionals here who took time out of their day to be here. And we're going to start now, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, and then you just get shut down, just like that. I mean, as simple as that, you're suddenly just shut down. But I like the idea of Peter Noronha runs. The element of Governor Raimondo, it seems pretty obvious right now that she's already running for re-election. I mean, because otherwise you would not. This whole, it's so transparent between her names on road signs to the fact, you know, every construction site has her name up. This whole free tuition, even though it's not free, that's another. You know, another example where I saw one this morning where they're running these TV commercials in support of her, support the plan, as if it's, you know, it's so important. And it's not. It's, to me, it's very self-serving with the governor. But as far as whether it's Kilmartin or Langevin.
You haven't read my press release and you're not listening, where I said this is about reminding the president that we all love this country, that we are a diverse nation. I've said nothing about the president's executive order. We don't even know what his new...
We need leadership, all right? I think we can agree on that. How about the fact Fox and Friends, they had a piece on Congressman Cicilline. He is doing anything to try to get attention. Congressman David Cicilline, anything to try to make national headlines. And Fox and Friends highlighted the fact that Cicilline, number one, he called for Sean Spicer to resign, which obviously Spicer has not. Number two, he is the only one that has come out and said the reason why that President Trump, that we sent those Tomahawk missiles into Syria, is in fact to try to get his approval ratings up.
The notion that this sort of allegation which he made has any basis is absurd.
No mention of what we witnessed of Assad in using chemical weapons on his own people. Doesn't matter in any way in Cicilline's world. But he at this point is really seemingly willing to say and do anything to try to stand out, to get himself on the national news, whether it be on with Rachel Maddow or anything like that. Cicilline, you know, of course, leading the charge, first one, saying, well, you know, Sean Spicer should resign. And now, well, the only reason that Trump did that, he just feels if he just continues to say outrageous things, at some point that, you know, he's going to be invited on. Again, whether it be with Fox News or he'll get on CNN or he'll get on with Bill Maher, it's all Congressman David Cicilline. It's not about trying to make your life better in any way. It all seems to be about whether or not he can make headlines and willing to say and do anything to make headlines. And so that I'm glad that Fox and Friends went after him and were making fun of his and you didn't see anyone else. You didn't see Senator Reid. You saw Senator Reid on Meet the Press. But Cicilline, and I'll retweet it. Well, you know you do something right when the geniuses at Fox and Friends are coming after you. Cicilline's crazy conspiracy. That's what they put with Fox and Friends. POTUS would risk war with North Korea or North Korea for approval. It, you know, that's him. That's what he went out and said. And of course they're going to mock it and go after him on that. And he's alone in thinking something like that. But what you don't see right now, folks, is, and I was mentioning that to Justin Katz, number one, Governor Raimondo's people, again, are facing more fallout over this whole business of the failed computer system. Now the feds are looking into it. And then you still have the federal probe into what happened with the no-bid contract that went to, you know, out of diversity. They were going to try to use the Google money. So as much as the governor tries to, you know, I'm turning things around and getting press that she, who knows, you know, she could be running for president in 2020. It's as if they don't want to deal with the realities that we're facing here in Rhode Island, which is we still have a long way to go to turn things around. That computer thing, the computer situation is still a mess. And, you know, now you have another federal probe, false claims probed in the UHIP mess. And yet Raimondo continues on her own agenda of this free tuition. And in this morning's Providence Journal, they break out the difference between the Rhode Island proposal versus New York law. Yes, it is true. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, he did sign it into law. But there's night and day difference between the state of Rhode Island and New York. And this business, now notice the Rhode Island option doesn't have any element of that you'd have to then work in the state. After that, that's what New York has for at least 4 years, or you'd have to pay the money back. Now, in New York, there are jobs. It is a big state, never mind New York City. But you couldn't pull that off. And they illustrate some of the other differences. In Rhode Island, there's nothing even on income. So someone that is making whatever it may be, $500,000 a year, $300,000 a year, they would qualify under the governor's plan. The governor's plan, or she calls it the Rhode Island Promise Scholarship, it's not a scholarship. It is you would be paying for it. I don't think you should have to pay for it. We need to fix K through 12 before they start talking about why are these kids really dropping out of school. And this, to me, is, as I said, look at the equation. Where you have Mattiello, right? He wants his meeting private with the Paw Sox. He's sitting back waiting for them to come to him and offer him some kind of a deal.
Well, you have to commit to making the changes. So we do have challenges ahead, but we're going to continue to have challenges ahead unless there's a change.
Now, the difference or what this could end up being would be Governor Raimondo. She really wants that free tuition, some form of it. That's her plan. That's her way to get on the national stage. And then you have Mattiello just sitting back. You know, what's in it for me? How can I make money off this stadium? The Senate President, Dominic Ruggiero, he wants the stadium. Why? What, are you kidding me? How much is that going to cost? $150 million? Plus it'd be a public labor agreement, so you don't have a normal bidding process. They slap that on. Who knows? And then, you know, when it's taxpayer money, who cares how much it's going to end up costing? That's how, you know, that's how that works. That's his MO. So the governor, she wants her free tuition proposal. It'll help her carve out an image nationally. It'll help her with fundraising. It'll help her be seen for the Bernie Sanders supporters as a progressive Democrat, you know, who's working, who's really there for the people, that has this idea right along the lines of Governor Cuomo of New York. You know, again, folks, I point out Cuomo, obviously, he obviously would like to maybe make a run for president coming up in 2020. Elizabeth Warren has apparently announced that she is not going to be running for president in 2020. I don't know how many people are upset about that, or if there are any grief counselors that had to go and help some people out in finding out that news. But Cuomo and Raimondo, they want to carve that out, and that niche of where you appeal to the Bernie Sanders supporters. And somehow that was the Bernie Sanders proposal, and he did win Rhode Island. And who knows, if they had not rigged the primary against him, he probably would have done better against Hillary if they didn't have, debates on Saturday night and all this foolishness. Think of that. Bernie Sanders won Rhode Island, and yet all of the delegates then had to vote for Hillary anyway. I mean, that's not a fair system. But he did very well. And so that has become, of all his different proposal he put forward, that definitely would get the young people. It would get the crowds enthused. And that wasn't lost. That was not lost on whether it's Cuomo or whether it was lost on, in our case, Governor Raimondo. Well, folks, good afternoon. Right now it's 2:42. This is John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show with you each afternoon now from 1 to 5 right here, AM 1540, and it's WADK, where you can call in 846-1028 now. Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, back in the news today. Sessions talking once again about sanctuary cities.
Sanctuary cities dangerously undermine this process. Harboring criminal aliens only helps violent gangs like MS-13.
That's exactly right. Just as we saw in Providence last week, where they broke up an international drug ring.
If you are a gang member, we will find you. We will devastate your networks. We will starve your revenue sources, deplete your ranks, and seize your profits.
How about that? He also talks about state court better for police cases.
It's usually easier to prosecute in state court for these crimes than it is in federal, but we can absolutely use our investigative and prosecutorial powers to prosecute cases that are worthy of prosecution.
Folks, I am telling you, you wait. They will make an example out of Mayor Alorza, and then they're all going to run for cover. So let's also hear today, I talked about this yesterday, the accused murderer of that young woman that was jogging in Massachusetts. He appeared high, high security. Let's hear ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Angelo Colon Ortiz was ordered held on $10 million bail, as requested by prosecutor Jeffrey Travis.
The Commonwealth's request for $10 million cash bail is supported by an expectation that the defendant will be indicted for murder.
For now, Colon Ortiz is charged with assault and attempted rape in connection with the death of Vanessa Marcotte. She worked for Google here in New York, but was visiting family in Massachusetts when she went out for a run and never came home. Police said she fought her attacker, and DNA taken from her hands helped solve the case. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
I believe they needed the interpreter in court for him. And I'm also, the latest I've heard is the saying he recently, lucky us, came here from Puerto Rico. You're the one accused. Terrible. They're going to argue. Whenever the attorney starts saying, I don't like the way the prosecutor went after him at the press conference. But think of that. She fought for her life. He stayed in the area. And, again, huge outcry in that area, in Massachusetts, right outside of Worcester, by the way. Absolutely horrendous, basically on lockdown. But Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, you know, I like him a lot. I think he's very strong. And I hope they start to move in and make an example out of different states and cities that continue to want to run a sanctuary city. This is ridiculous. It's not your imagination. It is ridiculous. And all silent with Governor Raimondo and Alorza regarding the international drug ring that they broke up. Why are they silent about that? Why are they silent that those guys had been deported? One of them had been deported four times. They all had been deported. One of them four times. And you're gonna come back into the country, and it's not like you're returning to be a doctor or anything like that. They're international drug dealers. And they say, where can we set up shop? I know where we can go, where we can be safe. Rhode Island.
If you are a gang member, we will find you. We will devastate your networks. We will starve your revenue sources, deplete your ranks, and seize your profits.
Good. That is Attorney General, by the way, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro on this sunny Wednesday. Hey, quick question. It's school vacation week. Why not treat yourself to a nice lunch at Top of the Bay Restaurant? Everybody loves Top of the Bay, right by the water, Oakland Beach and Warwick. Good afternoon to everybody at Top of the Bay. I know the kitchen staff, big fans of the Independent Man. They brought back their lunch package deal, and it runs Tuesday through Saturday. You start with hot clam cakes and chowder, a choice of lunch entree, coffee and dessert, all for just $11.95. Or get an entree like chicken or veal parm, steak tips over rice, fish and chips, baked scrod, much more. Just $11.95 for lunch, a glass of house wine, $3.99. The lunch special is Tuesday through Saturday from 11:30 to 4 at Top of the Bay. And for dinner, well, all day Sunday and Tuesday through Thursday. The full course deal at Top of the Bay, choice of appetizer, glass of house wine or domestic beer, hot soup, fresh salad, entree and dessert, starting at just $18.95. Baked scrod, chicken marsala, baked stuffed shrimp, steaks and more. Your choice, $18.95. You can always call Top of the Bay, 921-3663, 921-3663. Now, they are located, easy to get to. You just take West Shore Road and then follow the signs down to Oakland Beach. There you are by the water. You know, there's something on the menu for everyone. They also have a great children's menu. Listen, spring, the good weather has arrived. You can have, what a view. Look right down the mouth of the bay at Top of the Bay. Top of the Bay in Warwick. Call them at 921-3663. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We're going to come back. We'll take more of your phone calls on this Tuesday, 846-1028.
Spring has sprung, and on April 25th, AM 1540 WADK will host its fourth annual on-air home and garden fair. Tune in to Talk of the Town from 9 to noon and listen to a knowledgeable group of experts from varied home and garden businesses talk about plants, garden design, home decor, and more. The on-air home and garden fair, Tuesday, April 25th from 9 to noon on your hometown station, AM 1540 WADK. Participants include
A&B Family Appliance, Connor Dowd Realty Group at Keller Williams Realty, the Pella Store, Bellevue Avenue, Sears Hometown Stores, Wakefield and Middletown, Innovative Analytics, A1 Roofing and Construction, Pat's Power Equipment, Aardvark Antiques, the Maha Center, and Humphreys Building Supply.
A lot of people are thinking about getting into home flipping, at least if you go by all those shows on a certain cable channel. But Chestnut Street Design in New Paltz, New York says that cute little home you think needs just some TLC, well, it may need a whole lot more. Before you close, get a home inspection and be realistic. If you can't do the work, get a pro to do it. And if you can't afford to pay the pro, well, maybe it's not the right home for you.
Take WADK to work for the Talk of the Town with Bruce Newberry. Bruce talks with local newsmakers, local celebrities, and you. Weekday mornings from 9 to noon, WADK.
Folks, you're outside. Do you have some of that dreaded green stuff outside, whether it's on your roof or maybe it's on your deck or your patio or walkway? If that is the case, remember, never pressure wash your roof to get rid of that green algae and moss. Instead, do what I did. Join the revolution. Call Revolution Soft Wash today. Call Bill McMahon at Revolution Soft Wash, 680-6591. Their website, revolutionsoftwash.com. Listen, maybe you thought that it was going to die off over the wintertime. Maybe you thought that that green moss and algae, maybe it's on your roof or your deck or a fence. Maybe you thought that the cold weather, the snow and ice, was going to kill it. Instead, It just lies dormant, and suddenly it's back. It's stronger than ever. It's only going to get worse. Call Revolution Softwash today and say goodbye to that dreaded green stuff, the moss, the bacteria, the algae. Call Revolution Softwash today. Online at revolutionsoftwash.com, but call Bill McMahon, the man with a plan for your home or business, for Revolution Softwash. They have the right formula. I'll tell you, within 2 hours, they kill it. It is gone. My roof, I called Revolution Softwash. They came out. It looked like a brand new roof. My deck, we had some green stuff, algae moss on the deck. Called Revolution Softwash. Gone. And the most impressive, we have these front steps that are covered in shade, filled, moss, mildew, algae starts to grow. Called Revolution Softwash within 2 hours. Boom. Safe, effective, kills and destroys the organisms in their spores and guards against further infestation. Call Revolution Softwash today. Call for your free, no-obligation consultation and join the revolution. Call Bill McMahon, home or business. Let's get rid of the green stuff. 680-6591. 680-6591.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of the governor and New Hip. She slammed them in a press conference and then they paid for her trip. The state's in a mighty predicament, no leadership at all. We're not really sure who should take the blame, but it's Gina for sure. It's Gina for sure.
Thank you, Rhode Island!
The governor has not done enough. The whole state has a cost. If not for the John DePietro show, Rhode Island would be lost.
Thank you.
Rhode Island would be lost. So listen in each day, my friend. He's sure to make you smile with the governor, the speaker too.
It's Tim Brooks.
The rollout plan.
Put it live.
And all the lies. The annoying part. Not sure they can implement the plan. Here in Queen is all right. This is the tale of the rollout plan.
Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. This is the crooner at large on Facebook. Tim Brooks. Gina's Island. Now the feds are investigating.
Doesn't sound too confident. She's scary as can be. This Governor Raimondo, incompetent as it be. So listen in each day, my friend. Be sure to make you smile. Tune in to W8AK, 1540 on the radio dial.
Tim Brooks, crooner at large, right here, folks, on the John DePietro Show. Well, good afternoon. It is Juan with you, afternoons 1 to 5, right here, AM 1540, and it's WADK. Well, you can call in, 846-1028. Remember, you can always listen online at WADK.com. Click the Listen Live button. You can also go to the website, DePietro.com, no I's, DePetro. And remember, you have a smartphone or your iPad or your laptop, free app. You just search WADK and boom, it comes out crystal clear, either the TuneIn radio app or the Simple radio app. Again, if you go to my website, DePietro.com, you can get all the details. Folks, how about this headline? UC Davis student leaders say American flag display should be optional at meetings. The UC Davis Student Senate has made it optional to display the American flag at its meetings, stirring up controversy on campuses and also conservative blogs. Senate Bill 76 passed. Student senator who opposed the change. The bill amends bylaws that require the U.S. flag to be on display at every Senate meeting. See, this is the progressive wing. This is the same crew. You know, I posted it. Where you had Mayor Lorza, the mayor of Providence, remember, he was on national television, and the studio that he went to in Providence, they automatically put an American flag behind whenever there's a politician that's going to be on. But the new, this new breed, if you will, of the ultra-liberal progressives, the very, very liberal left progressives, they don't like to appear with the American flag. They don't want to, quote, offend anyone with the American flag. And the same way, you know, they some of the politicians tell law enforcement, you know, don't wear your uniform. You know, Governor Raimondo likes to travel with troopers that are not in their uniform. They're just in plain clothes. You don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. That's their attitude. You know, and the same thing, the police try to go to a community meeting. I don't know about wearing the uniform. You don't want to make people uncomfortable. Now, I don't know about you. I feel more comfortable when I see someone in a uniform, as a matter of fact. Unless you're on a United flight and they've decided they're going to drag some guy off because he doesn't want to get bumped. We have an update on that. I mean, that situation continues to get worse. They're now speaking out saying it's never going to happen again. But we'll bring that to you next hour. Tonight's also Point Street Reading Series. We'll speak with our friend Reading with Robin. And we'll take more of your phone calls, 846-1028. Folks, I want to remind you, if you know of an older adult who is living on their own and they'd like to remain living on their own, call Jane at All Is Well Home Care, 270-3750. All Is Well Home Care. Their mission, to assist seniors remaining self-reliant and independent in their own homes. And what do? Well, they provide services like bathing and dressing and medication reminders or maybe a doctor's appointment. It could be a few hours a week. It could be 24/7. So maybe it's your parents or maybe it's your grandparents. Maybe with your parents, is your mother the primary caregiver for your dad? I bet she could use a couple hours free a week. Or maybe vice versa. Call All Is Well Home Care today. They could come in just for a couple hours a week, as I said, or 24/7. But the most important thing is they allow seniors to remain living in their own home. Call Jane and her tremendous staff at All Is Well Home Care, 270-3750. They'll help with things like bathing and dressing. Not everyone does that. Or, you know, maybe just checking, monitoring food freshness. But the most important thing is the older adult continues and gets to remain living in their own home. Call All Is Well Home Care today for a free home evaluation, 270-3750, 270-3750 for All Is Well Home Care. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. I'm going to read some of your email coming up next hour. Remember, you can always send me an email. It's john@depietro.com, john@depietro.com. And also, follow me on Facebook. It's John DePietro Show on Facebook. Now, we'll take some more of your calls, 846-1028. I'm going to talk about Senator Whitehouse. It is serious now. He's releasing his taxes. He is really trying to stockpile a big war chest campaign. He's up next year, would be his time for reelection. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the latest disaster out of the Rhode Island State House, with now the feds involved investigating Governor Raimondo and her computer problems. This is the second investigation by the U.S. Attorney's Office. There's definitely job creation, as I said. It's the FBI agents that are getting hired, for crying out loud. I guess that's the job creation the governor meant. U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI. And then we'll touch on a lot more. And then we'll close down with Crazy Time brought to you by Overhead Doors. So, a big hour ahead. Again, we'll go right to the phones. 846-1028. Two big hours to go on this Tuesday with the John DePietro.